Hello, I'm Dominic Shaw. This is the Tripe Supper, our Borough podcast here at the Gazette, and I'm joined by the BBC's Philip Tallant. Are you?
BBC's?
Yeah, you've done a fair bit on the BBC this week. TV, radio. We're lucky to have you on this platform.
Well, I am looking to branch out, obviously, beyond the printed word.
It was the BBC were on the box, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was Look North, wasn't it, with Jeff Brown, yeah.
And you said a couple of kids were working themselves, as you put it, behind.
The good news was I couldn't say anything, because obviously I had my back to them, but...
And you were in the zone.
You could hear the giggles and the snickers, so... you kind of felt there was something going on anyway. Jeff said afterwards he thought the couple of lads might have made a gesture or two. But that's it at the high octane level of television reportage, so there you go.
As I say, I think we're lucky to have you on this.
I do come cheap, as you know.
We're going to talk about the defence. Obviously, looking back on the win over Wigan on Tuesday night, the much-needed win, even though we are just in the third week of the season. I think everyone was in agreement that not about pressure, but just about kind of easing any doubts. And for me, there was a feel-good factor at the start of this season and an optimism, not necessarily about where Borough were going to finish, but just about what we were going to see this season. And I think that was in danger of disappearing the longer the winless stretch went on. So that, I thought, was the most important thing about getting off the mark, even though, you know, everyone knows, the manager knows, the players know, and the fans know that wasn't kind of what we want to see moving forward, was it, that display over Wigan?
No, it was about getting the points. You're absolutely right. You can have all the intent to play whatever kind of football you want, but if you don't win games, you're on a limited time span, aren't you? We know that from previous managers who've come in. Gary Monk came in, we were told we were going to get a new brand of football under Gary Monk, and he lasted less than 6 months, you know, in terms of, you know, from the start of the season to December. So it is about results. I think obviously the expectation is different for Woody than it is for somebody like Gary Monk. You know, he was expected to get Borough back, straight back up, wasn't he? And for whatever reason, it didn't work. We've examined that in this forum many times in the past. I think from Woody's point of view, it was good the way he spoke when he first took the job. And I think he impressed a lot of people, and he said the right things, and he pressed a lot of buttons. But it also gives you a... It's a stick to beat you with, isn't it? You know, when you've made a commitment to play a certain brand of football, people say, well, you know, why didn't we see it at Blackburn? Why didn't we see it in the second half against Brentford? Why was it so bad against Crewe? And why was the Wigan game not much of a, you know...
spectacle.
Yeah, spectacle. So, but he's rightly saying it's going to take time. I'm trying to build something here. Stick with me. Be patient. Stay behind the players. Don't get on the backs. And I don't think the fans did to that, to be fair.
The goal, I thought, came at the right time.
It was critical.
The first 20 minutes was dreadful, wasn't it? And fans were just starting to get a little bit edgy and a little bit frustrated. And
On the back of two bad results,
and passes were going astray.
Yeah. It was a bit of quality, wasn't it? And it's good to see that that's within the team. You know, when Borough do require a little bit of class, they've still got players in there who can deliver it. That was as good a cross as you'll see from anybody all season at any level.
But well, lots of seamlessly slotting into what we're going to talk about. You'd think we'd rehearse this in advance with Johnny Howson, who obviously played at right back. Focusing on the defence, we've seen a fair few combinations at the back. I've got them written down here. At Luton on the opening day, there was Howson, Ayala, Shotton and Coulson. Against Blackburn at the weekend, Dyke, Steele, Ayala, Shotton and Friend. Against Wigan on Tuesday night, Howson, Ayala, Shotton and Bowler. We haven't seen... What is the first... I was going to say we haven't seen the first choice back line.
No.
If everyone's fit, what would you say at this point, or what would be your predicted first choice defensive four of the manager?
Well, given the fact that they've signed two full-backs, and we knew that that was an area Borough wanted to strengthen, on paper you'd have to say that the full-backs moving forward with Dyke, Steele and Bowler, you know, without having seen them play, I'm judging that on what we thought it might be. Dale Fry, you'd have to think, will come into that, you know, into contention as soon as he's fully fit, which he just about is. And then it's a question of who plays really with, you know, a lot of people think it would be an Ayala-Fry pairing. And then you kind of think, just to muddy the waters a bit, well, he's made big, you know, put a lot of store in George coming into the centre. George Friend. So, and that experience, that leadership qualities that you know that George provides, would it be Fry and Friend? So,
yeah.
I mean, if I was picking the team based on what I've seen so far, and you'd have to say, well Housen's your right back.
Because that's a completely different thing.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah. Because, and to be fair, you know, we were talking about this, weren't we, you know, in the office earlier about, you know, discussing, you know, one of the fans' questions that was put to me earlier today was about, you know, when will we start to see Dyke, Steele, Bowler and Brown? Well, we've got to remember the new signings, and it's all about getting an opportunity to start with and then being given a run. And now, where Middlesbrough have gone wrong in the past for me, particularly the start of, say, the Monk season, where you got someone like Johnson coming, he gets a couple of games and he's out of the pitch. We saw it with Ashley Fletcher. You know, you pay money for players and then they just don't get an opportunity. And people have judged them on 1.5 games or something like that. You can't do that. You've got to give a player a chance. And I think this is why having a smaller squad will help Borough this season. They will have to play players, you know, for extended periods of time. And they might have the odd bad game, but they'll get better and better, hopefully.
That's why I thought, I spoke to a couple of fans, and a couple of my mates who, after the Crewe game, were saying, you know, why make the 10 changes? And for me, he had to, because those, not had to, but I completely understand why he did, because the players he brought in weren't players who were that far out on the fringes. They're only going to come in, you know, the next cup game, the next appearance isn't going to be until January when the FA Cup rolls around. But players who will have to play a role this season, because we talked about it after the Luton game, didn't we? With the intensity that Woodgate wants to play at. And we know what the Championship's like with the old Saturday-Tuesday grind. You're going to have to. Mm. You're going to have to make changes. You can't keep the same 11 week in, week out. So the likes of Tavu came in and disappointed in that game. George Saville in the midfield, the defence, Dyke, Steele and Bowler. They're going to, you know, they might be on the fringes now, but they're going to play a key part moving forward. They'll have to.
We've already seen how injuries have taken the toll, aren't they? We've lost Hayden Coulson already.
3 weeks in the season. Yeah. George has Fenn's, had a recurrence of the
wing. Doesn't look 100% fit to me at the moment.
Fullbacks. Before we go into heart centre half, so we'll talk about the fullbacks.
Yeah.
You'd have thought there that, you know, the first choice pair would be on paper Dyke, Steele and Ball are the two who he signed, but I think you'd make a firm argument at the minute to say that the first choice fullbacks, judging on what we've seen so far, if everyone was fit, would be Housen and Coulson.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, I mean, obviously, I think Coulson in particular is benefiting from having a running pre-season. I feel Borough this season, and I felt it last season. I felt it this summer, and I felt it in the summer of Gary Monk.
Two summers ago,
that Borough were undercooked going into the season. They looked a game shy, and I think that's shown a little bit, isn't it? That you mentioned it before, though, the intensity of the first few games catches players almost by surprise. But so Coulson's had a bit of pre-season experience. He looked the part, he's been selected, and he's grasped the nettle, hasn't he? Housen, I thought, was excellent against Wigan. It looked, you know, and I was doubtful about Housen being potentially the right back this season, but at the moment he's looked strong, mobile, tackles, puts a cross in. He's a good, versatile player, and he's a good pro. He's a good, honest pro. So I'm not saying that will necessarily be the case moving forward, because I think Housen might be needed in midfield ultimately. I think there are problems in that midfield three that play in front of the back four. That's not settled down. You mentioned the number of changes at the back four. There's been quite a few changes in midfield, hasn't there? You know, in terms of Wingy was asked to sort of sit a bit deeper at Blackburn, and then, you know, McNair's slotted in here, and Clayton's come back, and it's all in a little bit of a flux at the moment. And I think I'd like to see a little bit of consistency of selection. So it might be that Housen has to go further forward, whether through form or due to an injury, and, you know, Dyke Steele gets his chance on that side. I think it's very easy and very dangerous to judge players on one match. You know, you can imagine someone like Bowler. He got his first start in the league against Wigan. He's stepping up from Blackpool, you know, League One. It is a step up, whatever anybody says. It's a different environment, a new group of players. He hasn't even been here that long, let's face it. It's a matter of 2 or 3 weeks since he joined the club. So it's a big night for him, and he might be nervous, and he maybe was playing it a little bit safe and turning inside and playing square passes instead of trying to get past his man and bomb on, which we've seen Coulson do so effectively. So, you know, let's give the lad a chance. Let's give him, you know, 3, 4, 5 games to get bedded in. And this is where it comes down to the payoff between results and the long-term picture. And And if Burr hadn't got the result against Wigan, it was going to be win or bust against Millwall, wasn't it? You couldn't go in there taking any gamble whatsoever. You'd put
wouldn't
the
have been nice going to Bristol still.
No, exactly. Yeah, so I think Woody's bought himself a little bit of time with that win. I still think they need another win, or at worst a draw against Millwall, before we go to Bristol City. But I think the point is that he is going to have to be a bit pragmatic. And if fans wonder why Bowler's got another game on the back of a not too convincing first start, well, it's because he wants to give him a chance to get better.
I think with Dyke, Steele and Bowler, we're all guilty of falling into the trap of kind of having expectations of new signings. But when you take a step back and look at them, both 21.
Yeah.
Or Dyke, Steele might be 22.
I think, yeah.
Last season was the first season that Dyke Steele truly broke into the Charlton team. It wasn't until the back end of the season that he was being used as a right back. Before then, he was a centre midfielder. Bowler, you know, the summer before this one, so the summer of 2018, he didn't have a club.
No.
It looked as though he wasn't going to have a club until, I think it was Gary Bowyer, who was a manager of Blackpool, spotted him in a trial game and took him on. If they were players who'd played as many professional games as they have and they'd come through Borough's academy, you'd rightly take a step back and be patient with them. I think sometimes with new signings, you can fall into the trap of maybe expecting too much too soon and forgetting how old they are and how much football they've played or haven't played.
Yeah, I think Brown comes in. I know we're not talking about forward players at the moment, but I think Brown comes in that category as well. As a player, really, he's only had one season on loan at Oxford. You know, in the lower level, and he's coming to now. So, I mean, I thought he looked really good against San Etienne, for example. But again, you're absolutely right. But these players are going to need time to adapt. They are relatively young. You can put them on a par with some of the players, as you say, coming through the Borough Academy at the moment. You know, similar lack of experience or very similar amounts of experience, similar ages, and you wouldn't expect them necessarily to hit the ground running And we are used to Middlesbrough going out and buy purpose-built players, aren't we? We've had decades of it. You know, it's what Borough pretty much did from the moment Brian Robson, took charge back in 1994. Borough's game plan has been go out and buy ready-made players who can slot in and hopefully hit the ground running. This is a new era. I think what I like about having a small squad, going back to that point, and having been forced. Being forced to play players, can't get my words out properly, is that they do get a chance. So the best example of that is, and I know we're talking different eras, is the 86 team. Borough played a lot of those kids because they had nobody else. So they had to play, and they made the mistakes out on the pitch, and sometimes they had bad games, and some of them got some hammer off the chicken run. But a lot of those players kicked on and became good senior pros. And who's to say some of them would never have become professionals if they hadn't been given that chance? And that was through necessity. And that team bonded. And because you only had a squad of 13 or 14, they played week in, week out. They're probably a little bit lucky with injuries. And they ultimately won promotion.
It's like, I mean, I know they're incomparable, but Chelsea this year, that transfer embargo has kind of really forced Lampard's hand to play the likes of Tomori and Mount and Abraham. If it wasn't the manager, I know the manager makes a difference, but if he was allowed, or if a manager was allowed to bring four or five players in, those players wouldn't get a kick, would they?
No, I mean, we saw it with Johnson to an extent. Now, I know people will say, well, he didn't really do enough to justify any more than games than he got under Gary Monk that season and subsequently Tony Pulis. But if he'd been given a run of 10 games and been allowed to make mistakes but also bounce back from them, you know, he had that fantastic game against QPR. I think he played well against Bolton, didn't he? Either the game before that or the game after that. And, you know, we're going back almost 2 years now. And then he disappears. You remember Wiltshire that? Do you remember the Wiltshire game down at Rotherham?
Yeah.
He has a fantastic game, man of the match. He plays. He starts the next game, gets hauled at half-time. I think it was against Bournemouth. And virtually never seen again. Now, those players can't be that bad. I don't care what anyone says. They can't be that bad that they never get another chance or they only play one more game, yet somebody else seems to play every week, no matter how badly or well they do. And a lot of that's just through a manager's preference, isn't it? So, I mean, I don't know what you think, but it's going to be difficult for Woody now to be pragmatic in terms of picking the team, but also trying to blood these young players coming through if he's got everybody available. I mean, which what back four would you pick on Saturday?
Well, on Saturday I'd play. I think he's forced into playing. We don't know how far. We don't know how ready Dale is. If Fry is ready to play, no problems whatsoever. I'd put him at centre half instead of Shotton with Ayala, and obviously you've got to stick. Howson was the best player on Tuesday night, so you've got to stick with him. Baller plays at left back because Coulson won't be ready and Friend's unlikely to be ready. I mean, with Dykstra, we know that Woody's made the point on a few occasions that he was the player he wanted at right back. He was absolutely over the moon to get him in. They really liked him. He was watching him at the back end of last season and kind of had it in his mind then that if he got the job, he'd want to sign him. So we know that, given time, he will likely end up in the team. And with Baller, I was told that when of the three players assigned, there was a real excitement, thinking they've got themselves a real coup moving forward. They might have themselves a real bargain. He's only going to get better. It was his first proper season in professional football last year. They really liked him at Blackpool. And an interesting one, I think, on Baller and Coulson is Coulson played on the wing last year on loan at Cambridge. I think it was Cambridge, wasn't it? And when Baller signed, I was talking to the lad who covers Blackpool for the Blackpool Gazette, and he was saying that Blackpool had signed James Husband the week before, and although it was kind of inevitable at that stage that Baller was going, if he'd have stayed, there'd have been a chance that Husband had played left back and Baller had played left wing. So you do wonder whether at some stage there's a prospect of getting both Coulson and Baller in the team. I think it's probably more likely to be Coulson in a more advanced position, further forward on the left than Baller.
Well, Woody, I said he can play a different position as Coulson.
But when everyone's fit, I think the interesting thing is, say you've got everyone available. Say if he chooses to go with Coulson at left back, Howson or Dykstra at right back, Fry at centre half, and then he's got the decision to either leave out Ayala, who's been a fixture in the team for 5 years, or Friend, your club captain. Be fascinating, I think, to see who he goes for there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that you would probably have to factor in with both Friend and Ayala is they will probably have fitness issues moving forward. Ayala typically has a problem at some stage in the season. We've just seen that, and you know, consistently season after season, he has the occasional problem. George Friend's had a recurrence, by the sounds of it, of that thigh problem that kept him out all summer. So it would be interesting to see who he picked with everybody available. I think the good thing is, just to touch on the point you made about Coulson, the ball, the Dyke, Steele, the Housen, I like the idea that players have to raise the game to get in the team. Because the last thing you want is somebody who's walking the team because he's the only fit and available right back. And I think Dyke Steele will benefit from coming here, seeing a top pro like Housen, playing out of position, given the sort of shift he gave last night. And that, if I was Woody, I'd be saying, right, Anthony, that is your standard. That is what you're up against. I think you can do it. I want you to do it. But, you know, you, this is where you're at now. You're not in League One. You're in the Championship. You know, and likewise, as you say, Burr have signed Marcus Brown as theoretically the left-sided attacking midfielder. But if Coulson's pushing him, or Baller's pushing him, you know, why not? Why not? You know, that should be just because we want Burr to be, just because Burr are going through a transition, and we think there's, I worry about this because there's a lot of people talking about diminishing sort of expectations. That, well, it's okay to finish 12th or it's okay to finish 9th, provided we've got something to kick on next season. I think that's David. I think there should be an incentive, you know, a desire in there to finish. You know, let's aim for top six. Let's have that desire to finish in the top six. And to do it, I want player X to be better than player Y and to get him out of the team and to be picked ahead of him. And I think there are a number of those little tussles all over the pitch now. I mean, there are only real players, and I'd be interested in your viewpoint on this, that you kind of nailed on in a certain position as we sit here four league games into the season. Keeper, obviously.
Yeah.
Britt, you'd have to say.
I think Fletcher.
And then possibly Fletcher.
And I think...
But possibly only because he hasn't got a lot of competition in that position.
And although I think the midfield doesn't look completely right, I don't think the balance looks right yet.
No.
It's clear that he wants Wing and McNair in there.
Yeah, I think
McNair's been excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I think so you've got 11 positions on the pitch. I think there's two definitely nailed down, if fit. And then there's a few players that you'd expect to be in the team. But
Fry, if fit, will play, won't he?
You'd have thought so. I mean, obviously he hasn't had any football, serious football, since April. which is a quiet, but yes, in terms of his ability and what we've seen from him before.
Do you think on the defence, and we saw it on for the last 20 minutes or so on Tuesday, could he go to a back three? Because he's got the players for it.
Yeah, few people
and not
said
just,
that.
Not just the players for a back three, but he's got the options at wing-back. He's got it, given the possibility to play Fletcher and Asombalonga as a two with a midfield three.
Well, I think it's... Theoretically, it could be desirable. You know, you've got, you know, some of your best footballers are people like Dale Fry. I mean, who would play the three? You'd have to think Ayala would be one of your three. And then would you play Shotton or would you play Friend? If Friend was fit, he's been outlined for a... He's been marked for a central role. I think I'd like to see potentially a 3-4-3. I wouldn't like to see an old-fashioned kind of 3-5-2 because I don't think Burr have necessarily got the players. Certainly... I mean, would you play up front with Britt? Would you play Fletcher?
I think Fletcher.
I think Woody's so far down this road now of the 4-3-3 that I think we need to see it through, certainly till beyond the international break, because he's just starting. You know, he's learning as he goes along. You know, he's what Jonathan's like. He's very forthright. He's very direct in what he says and in what he wants. But he'll be learning about players. You know, he'll be thinking, right, I've played him now. I've given him three goals in that position and he hasn't really done it for me. But he's been fantastic every time he's come off the bench and he's been really reliable. He's played in four different positions. So he'll be learning. And all the time he's trying to... I mean, I don't think the 4-3-3 has really gelled that well so far.
No,
do you?
No, I don't.
You know, I sometimes watch it. You know, watching it at Blackburn, I'm thinking...
But it's the midfield, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I go back to that point I made earlier about it's the three in front of the four. Yeah. It's the three in front of the back four that's a little bit in flux. You know, you'd assume you need one player sitting, which is tended to be Clayton, but not always.
I think the problem is if you take Clayton out, which you did at Blackburn, you're suddenly asking one of House and McNair, Wing or Savile, if he was playing him, to not play their natural game.
Yeah,
because it's not natural
no.
for any of them to sit and sweep, is
no,
it? Whereas
no.
it is for Clayton.
Well, I mean, there's another, you know, we're talking, you know, thinking outside the box a little bit. Dale Fry might be the person who goes in there and sits. You know, he's done it before.
It'd be a curveball.
It'd be a curveball. But, I mean, he's a player who's been talked about as somebody more than just a central defender. You know, you kind of think if you can play in a three, could you play in that advanced defensive role, if you want to call it that? I mean, I'm just putting that out there. It doesn't have to be Adam Clayton, but he's the obvious candidate if you want a holding midfielder. But then you've got McNair and Wing. Do they look really comfortable in those positions just either side of the three?
I think Wing's been used a bit deep.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Well, I think the problem is, as you rightly say, you've got McNair, who's instinctively an attacking midfielder. Housen is instinctively an attacking midfielder. Wing is instinctively an attacking midfielder. And we understand that Savile's an attacking midfielder as well. So you've got all those players basically of a similar type trying to get into those positions. So I think I'd like to see a little bit more. I'd like to see a little bit more from those positions. Just when you watch the match and you tell me if you disagree, particularly I noticed against Blackburn, it's hard to see exactly what the plan was. I know Borough want to tend either play it out from the back or get the ball forward early and press high, but do it by playing proper football. But sometimes you watch the match like last, you know, against Wigan, and you think, well, can't really see what the game plan is here.
The first 20 minutes of the, obviously Wigan had two or three chances to score, should have scored, and Borough really were teeing them up, weren't they? There was some slack, sloppy passing. Ayala and Shotton gave the ball away on a number of occasions, and
Clayton gave the ball away.
Yeah,
sorry, got caught in position.
I think I gave Shotton a 5 in the ratings, Ayala a 6, slightly better. But then I thought about it overnight, and on Wednesday morning when I was running, and I thought,
sleepless night.
I thought, well, you know, was that a bit harsh on Shotton? And was I judging him there purely on a sloppy first 20 minutes rather than defensively in the second half when Wigan went more direct and he made a few vital blocks, good headers, positionally he was spot on. I think it may be easy to forget that Shotton and Ayala and the centre-halves have been asked to play a completely different game to what the rest of the... I mean, how many times last year did Aidan Flint get the ball and it just went long?
Yeah.
For Hugel. And even if Hugel got it, no one was anywhere near him, so he'd inevitably lose the ball and then the opposition would come again. Whereas this year, it's the direct opposite in that the defenders are getting the ball and having to look for someone from midfield. And I wonder whether... I mean, the passing at times was so sloppy, wasn't it? But then... is there enough options? Are the midfield showing enough?
Well, I think that's a, I mean, we talked about it during the match, didn't we, last night when it was actually happening, and I was saying, you know, we were both saying the defence, we were struggling here, it's, you know, to not put too fine a point on it. And I think, you know, I felt personally that they weren't getting enough protection. So, you know, the people, you know, I can't remember who it was now, just waltzed right through, basically right through, and had a shot.
It was Byrne, the right back, wasn't it?
And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, all right, the defence is going to get pelters for this, but there was 40 yards of pitch before they even got to the Boroughs' final third, and that happened too many times. Yes, they did make mistakes as well, and so you've got like an inexperienced left back in the team who's just learned his trade. You've got two centre backs it's a little bit easy sometimes just to blame Ayala, particularly Shotton, isn't it? It's like a default mechanism. Yeah. Or Boro defended badly, therefore, you know, it's Shotton's fault for sake of argument. I mean, Shotton didn't give the penalty away at Blackburn. You know, Boro would have had a clean sheet in that match if it hadn't been for Dyke Steele's rush of blood, and they got one last night. So it is a little bit easy. You know, I think you make a very good point about the comparison with last season. You had a team that was set up with basically 10 defensive players, including the goalkeeper at times. Everything was in the defender's favour. You know, you quite often played with three at the back, plus wing-backs, who were basically extra full-backs half the time, weren't they? You had the defensive midfielders in front. The attacking players were told to drop back and help out, a bit like in Karanka's day when everyone but the striker was really tasked with doing a defensive role. So everything was in the defender's favour last season. Now it isn't. And now is the time when you find out, you know, just what these players' positional sense is like, what they're like in a one-to-one, you know, when they're exposed, when they've got a fast striker running at them and there's nobody else around them to help them. And I thought, you know, as you say, once the first 15 minutes was over, they did get to grips with it a little bit. I think the goal was a massive, just knocked the stuff in a little bit out of Wigan, didn't it? You know, they should have been 2-0 up. You know, Paul Cook must have been, if he'd had any hair, he'd have been tearing it out. And that is the difference in, you know, at this level. That's why they'll probably struggle all season, Wigan, because when they're on top, they don't score. And that's the difference.
I think it's 370 minutes, I read, since they scored. I mean, that's not the type of stat you want to see at this stage of the season.
No, so I think we'll be interested to see what, as you know, we speculated what defence will play when Dale's available, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. Actually, he might be, you know, available for the Millwall match.
Because I mean, Millwall, you know what you're going to get from them on Saturday. They signed Matt Smith in the summer, which is a sure sign evidence Neil Harris has no intentions of changing. They're going to go direct. They're going to make it ugly for you. Yeah. But I actually think. In terms of the defence, that might play into Boro's hands. Ayala and Shotton prefer that all day long. With the big aerial balls, a good ding-dong with a striker who'll put himself about, because Ayala will give as good as he gets.
Yeah.
He got that yellow, didn't he, on Tuesday night, that I feared it was going to be the first Ayala moment of the season. And Brown was lucky not to go off, I thought.
Yeah, for the challenge already on a yellow. And Woody rightly, you know, bit the bullet at half time and took him off, and it was a sensible thing to do. That good management by him. I mean, there will be these sort of challenges moving forward, week in, week out for Woody, but he will surely settle on, you know, say 9 of his regular 11 before too long, if he hasn't already. I understand you get, you know, Tuesday, Saturday, so players may need to be rotated, but I think. The challenge now is to get to the international break. Pick up 4 more points in the next 2 matches, and then you can reassess it, can't you? You know, it should have everybody back by then, hopefully, or should be close to having everybody back, and then it kick on again once the international break is over with hopefully virtually a full squad and. And as I said before, he must be learning a massive amount. It's one thing to be the number 2, isn't it? You know, and watch Tony Pulis and decide which parts of his managerial, you know, philosophy he wants to adapt and which ones he doesn't. Because make no mistake, Woody had a lot of time for Pulis in terms of a manager who's had, you know, more than 1,000 games in charge and the way he does certain things. And although he's not many fans on Teesside, you don't get to manage for as long as he did without knowing what you're about. And so he'll be probably sitting down, you know, when he's had a chance to reflect on the first few games and be thinking, right, okay, I've got that right, I got that wrong. Next time that happens, I won't do that. But I think I made the right call there. And he's got people like around him, like Robbie Keane, who's learning, you know, and who's kind of his sounding board, isn't he? And he's got people there to advise him as well. So, you know, people he's already talking about the lack of depth in the squad, but the squad won't change now. So it's a case really of just making the best of it, isn't it?
And getting away you can in January and then reassessing and going from there. We're expecting a couple of youngsters to go out on loan. You said that a couple of weeks ago. There hasn't been any movement yet. Nathan Wood isn't expected to be one of them. Who do you think could be? I mean, the likes of Jed Spence. You look at Steve Walker.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Walker looks to be firmly part of the squad.
It does, but you wonder how much football he'll get if he's, you know, around the 18, but not getting more than a couple of minutes here, I mean, I would imagine that in an ideal world, he would have already gone out on loan to play regular League Two football.
Say if Walker goes on loan, the risk you take is Brint or Fletcher get injured.
Yeah,
you're left with one striker plus instead.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would imagine players like Conor Malley would benefit from a loan spell. You know, I watched the 23s last week and some of the stuff he did in periods was really, really impressive, but he couldn't do it for 90 minutes. And I think...
Or
150 minutes, after the referee added on a ridiculous amount of time. but let's not go into that. The 75-minute second half. So there's a player there, clearly. But I think you feel as though he's not the finished article and he needs... He's not going to get any much if any time in the Borough first team this season. Is he going to kick on playing for the 23s, or is he going to really develop by going to, say, a League Two club or a really good National League club? And do what Lewis Wing did. I'll go up to Scotland, you know, and really, you know, find out that the only way to make your way in football is to be, you know, reliable for the manager to listen to you. You know, they made the point, funny enough, about Stephen Walker after Saturday's match. It's fantastic that he got that opportunity to make his, you know, Championship debut. For me, he now has to work even harder than he has done before to build on that. And I think that's where a lot of young players in the past have gone wrong, is they've had a little taste of the first team. We could name a few individuals ourselves sat here now. And then they think they've made it. They get the offer from the agents, they get big cars, they get, you know, the friends, you know, lauding them to the, you know. And it becomes distracting, and they think, well, I'll have to, you know, I've done it now. Well, that's not how it works. The hard work really starts once you get a touch of the first team. So I think players like Jed Spence, you're absolutely right. I think if he's not going to get any sort of involvement with Borough, he needs to go and play football. I think Tav might have to go out on loan. I can't see at the moment Tav getting a regular.
It's been a frustrating start for him.
I mean, funny enough, the two players, I think we've mentioned this before, when we were talking in May about the players who might get the chance next season if Borough have a smaller squad and aren't able to make as many signs, they were the two we thought might really, and maybe Nathan Wood, would grab the opportunity in the summer and potentially be first team players. It didn't really happen for them for one reason or another. So that for their benefit, you think that, you know, to develop further, maybe just go out and play some regular football. I mean, obviously, we don't know what Jonathan Woodgate's intentions are with someone like Tavi. You might think, oh, I'm just going to give him a couple of weeks and we'll see what it can do in, you know, in October, September. So, but yeah, they're the ones that jump out. And there are some good players coming through. You know, like, what do you do with Ainsley Pearce? Do you keep him as the...
He's a number two,
isn't he? Yeah, he's a number two. But will he develop by being sat on the bench? You know, we hope that Darren Randolph doesn't get injured. So therefore, you know, it's a difficult one. We saw that with Connor Ripley, didn't we? You either stay and you sit on the bench and hope you get an opportunity and you might play the odd cup game. But in reality, you're not going to improve your game if you're not playing every week. So it's a conundrum for Woody, because I think he looks a talented keeper, Pearce, doesn't he?
Well, there's a week or so until the transfer deadline for League One and League Two clubs, so it might well be a busy week for a few of the youngsters, and might well be a busy week for you with a few more BBC appearances before.
Well, I've upped my fee after this week.
Yeah, you'll be presenting Look North by the time we record the next try. Anyway, thanks, Phil, and thanks very much for listening. Take care.
Cheers.